Our eyes can only see light in a narrow spectrum. Beyond blue is ultraviolet. Beyond red is infrared. There is much we do not see. And as we run life's race, it's good to get a new perspective. Getting a fresh view of how God sees things can help us run and not be weary. His view takes in all the wavelengths, and he's revealed what that view includes. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18, the Apostle Paul compares two points of view. Today, Dr. Lutzer concludes a message on the things that matter most. Paul says, the things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal.
Now notice the contrast here between time and eternity, between the seen and the unseen. You look at the things which are seen, and life becomes very, very disappointing, even in the life of the Apostle Paul. Many people thought that he was a disappointment. He was a Pharisee. He was reared as a Pharisee. He was a man who was highly respected, and then he called it all dung that he might win Christ. It was all refuse. And then he went through life and experienced the hardships that we read about just a few moments ago. And so the Apostle Paul says, if I were to look at the things which are seen, if I were to look at all of the disappointments that I have had in my ministry in the churches, where people have been nurtured and discipled and they've grown in the Lord, and then they've fallen back and they have left me, if I were to look at that, I would be disappointed. If I were to look at the ravages of my body, the disintegration, the sicknesses and the hardships that I've gone through, I would be miserable. But he says we need to look at that which is unseen. Why? Because the unseen is eternal. If the one contrast is between the scale that has a feather on it, plus 100 million pounds on the other side, this contrast has to do with time. If you were to take a measuring tape from this earth and string it all the way to the farthest star, and I don't think we know how far the farthest star is away, but hundreds of billions of light years, your life would only be a thread on that measuring stick. You've got an eternity, hundreds and billions upon billions, cubed factorial, number of years in which you are going to live, and after you've lived that long, you haven't even begun. Because it's not proper to talk about beginning an infinite series. Nobody ever begins an infinite series. Beginning implies an end. So the Apostle Paul says, what we need to do in life is to constantly look at the unseen things that are going to last forever. I entitled this message, Things That Matter Most. So what is it that matter most? Well, obviously, you've already learned that it is the inner, it's not the outer. It is the glory, it is not the affliction. And now it is the eternal things that last forever. It is not the temporal things that are here today and gone tomorrow. How do we look at those eternal things? Colossians chapter 3 says, set your mind on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father. Set your affection on things above and not on things that are of the earth. Well, one of the best ways that we can do that is to constantly have our hearts renewed in the promises of God so that we always look beyond the immediate to that which is eternal and our minds become preoccupied with eternity. Sometimes people have been criticized for, quote, being so heavenly minded that they are of no earthly good. I don't think the Apostle Paul would appreciate such a criticism. Because he would want to say that the more heavenly minded we are, in the right sense of the word, the more earthly good we are able to do and we're able to cope in life simply because, and here's the bottom line, this life becomes more bearable when we begin to focus on the reality of the life to come. The visible becomes bearable when we focus on the invisible. The temporal, we are able to handle it when we begin to look at the eternal. And how do we do that? Well, the best way for us to do that is, first of all, to make sure that we are Christians. And by the way, I may be speaking to some today who aren't. You know, C.S. Lewis, in that sermon, The Weight of Glory, points out that everybody is either going to be a being of everlasting splendor or else a being of everlasting horror. This is an awesome thought. He says, it is a serious thing to live in a society of possible gods and goddesses. Now, he's not into the New Age movement. He's not saying we're going to be God. It's a little g. In other words, we're going to live forever. And in that sense, we're like God. That's what he means. So with that explanation, let me read it again. It is a serious thing to live in a society of possible gods and goddesses, to remember that the dullest and most uninteresting person you talk to may one day be a creature which, if you saw it now, you would be strongly tempted to worship. Or else a horror and a corruption such as you now meet, if at all, only in a nightmare. Awesome. The person that you are sitting with today in church, and the person that you're going to have lunch with, that individual is either going to be a being someday of such splendor that if we were to see him or her in that splendor right now, we'd almost be tempted to worship them. Such glory. Or else that person is going to be a being of horror and corruption, the likes of which we don't see except in nightmares. Lewis continues, there are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. Nations, cultures, arts, civilization, these are mortal, and their life is to ours as the life of a gnat. But it is immortals whom we joke with, work with, marry, snub, and exploit. Immortal horrors or everlasting splendors. What an awesome thought. But if you're a Christian, how do you begin to look beyond the things of this world to that which is eternal? Obviously, one of the best ways to do it is to memorize the promises of God and to receive them into your soul so that you keep your perspective. Here's one for you. Do not be overcome by covetousness, but be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Therefore we can boldly say, I will not fear what a man will do to me. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Here's another one for you. John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Well, we could go on and on this morning. The renewal of the inner man, the understanding of our affliction, and the conception of the eternal is all taking place in us through the Word of God as we force ourselves to fix our eyes on that which is immovable in a very fluctuating, painful, hurtful, decaying, cursed world. That's what it's all about. On the 4th of July, a member of the church here asked my wife and I and children to come with him on his boat just off the lake shore here so that we could see the fireworks. And as the boat was bobbing in the water and we were on it for several hours, some of us became somewhat seasick and I needed to just lie down for a minute just to get my bearings. But he said something very interesting. He said, you know what you need to do is don't look at any part of the ship if you're standing, or of the boat, I should say. Don't look at the mast. Don't look at anything around you. What you need to do is to focus on an object that is not moving, and that will give you perspective. So I chose the John Hancock Center. I mean, that place isn't going anywhere. At least it wasn't on the 4th of July. But I noticed something, that the minute I did that, despite the fact that the boat was rocking back and forth, I gained my equilibrium, and being in the boat was no problem. You see, because if your body is moving back and forth and you're looking at some part of the boat that is moving back and forth also, then your body is really trying to fool itself, and it can't do that because part of you is saying, I am moving, but your eyes are saying, no, you're not, because you are moving in conjunction with the boat, and your body can't handle that. But when you look beyond that, and you look at that building out there that is not moving, then you can take the swaying of the boat. What is my bottom line to you today? If you want to know what it is to be renewed in the inner man, if you want to focus on eternal glory rather than on temporal suffering, if you want to look at those things that last forever rather than the things that are transitory, what you need to do is to fix your mind on God and His promises, and then the shaking and the rocking and the disappointments and the hurt and the circumstances of life become bearable, because you found something that doesn't move in a world that is filled with flux and disappointment. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though our outer man is decaying, the inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. One last thing. I'm sorry that there's a chapter division here. You know, chapter divisions aren't inspired. They were made by men to make the Bible more readable. Because in the very next verse he says, if our earthly tent, and that's the Greek word, if our tent, he says, is being destroyed and it gets folded up and we die, and rumor has it this is going to happen to a lot of us, he says, we've got a place eternal in the heavens. Follows naturally, doesn't it? We're all dying. Christian can watch it happen and say, you know what? I've got my mind so fixed on that which is unchangeable that I can even handle death.
Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I've just enunciated a principle that is found throughout the Scriptures. Whether it is Peter being able to walk on the water, and as long as he's looking at Jesus, he's able to walk for a few moments, two people are walking on the water. But the minute he takes his mind and eyes off Jesus, he sees the wind and he begins to sink. That's why the Bible says that we should run the race looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We run with confidence, but we run in a certain direction. We run thinking about Jesus, meditating on Jesus through his word. We run inspired by Jesus, because we know that according to his promise, if we keep our eyes on him, we can make it all the way to the finish line. So my friend, today, turn away from the world and now look at Jesus.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer, for today's perspective, a clear look at how we should view life, a view with eternal eyes. The renewing of the inner man, dwelling on the glory and not the affliction, and seeing the eternal unseen. These are the things that matter most, as Paul taught in the New Testament. Tomorrow, Dr. Lutzer will speak on the things which must come to pass. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. We believe this brief series will help you understand what really matters in life and in eternity. Our series on things can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. For details, call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. On the internet, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's Running to Win.